Let's review the agenda. I just pasted in, but in case people just joined. So here's the agenda for today. I included some clarification. So for the most part, we're going to be talking about TPAC. But on further exchange, I realized that this would be a good time to also have the credential API discussion that kept getting postponed from 2 weeks ago. What I think would make sense is if we have that conversation in the early part of TPAC planning review, and then I will sort of turn it over to Manu to whether he wants feedback on any slide decks or sort of get, sort of specific discussions going before TPAC. Actually, before that, we're going to discuss the DID PR that's been open for a while. Am I missing anything? Anyone want to add anything? Okay, so let's go over introductions and reintroductions. I see Marcus on the line. We all know him, but do you want to reintroduce yourself to the group, Marcus? Let's see who else we have. Okay, I think we have a very small set, so why don't we skip the reintroductions part and move straight on. So status of current action items. I had something lurking from a while back, which is assigned to David Chadwick, converting life cycle to markdown. I feel like that was done. David, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line, and in fact, I have to apologize because I've actually updated the lifecycle document and have not yet done the conversion of the modified version. So I have to apologize for that. So if you could carry that forward, please.
Yep, sounds good. And on the beginning of the call, Christopher mentioned there were two more action items. Christopher, can you say what those are now, just so I can get those jotted down? Christopher?
So the first one was from last week. We had said that we needed a little more clarity on the web page as to what things were, fully reviewed, consent approved work items, as opposed to things that are kind of pending or we'd like to do but don't, aren't committed to, et cetera. So we had a bit of a dialogue about that last week, and it's really kind of, I think, up to the chairs to go back and clarify that. I think there was some reluctance to, to take on too much too fast. So, and then there were others where we never really asked the community, is this a, anybody have any objections of having this be a primary work item? So, and the other one was just the you had asked about, sort of workload of the chairs and whatever, and we should have a conversation maybe with Manu and about it. So, but that's us.
Okay. So for the first one, I'm sorry, I'm hearing the echo again. Christopher, can you mute? Okay. For the first one, clarifying which are the current action items, that one seems pretty straightforward. I'll assign that to myself. I think specifically the one that snuck in there was the verifiable news. And I think I had listed it just, sort of in terms of what we're working on, but really what we're working on was what we agreed to work on, which that one was not. That one sort of snuck in. So what I can do on the page is clarify that this one is something that some group members are working on. It's related, but it's not been officially approved, voted on. Does that sound reasonable? Okay, I see some plus ones, so we'll go for that. And then the workload for chairs, that does sound like something, yeah, we'll just follow up. It sounds like Christopher, Manu, and I need to follow up on that. So I'll follow, yeah. I'll send out an email to schedule that. Okay, let's move on to Manu's DID PR. So a deadline was given of actually last Tuesday to just get in any remaining comments. And Manu, would you mind phrasing the request here as you did in, you mentioned it in email very eloquently in terms of what we're looking for?
Sure. So the we're not looking for perfection. We're just, you know, we have a spec that's out there already, and we just want to know if the new set of changes are, in general, a step in the right direction. We will definitely still need to fix a bunch of stuff with respect to language post-rebooting Web of Trust. You know, some sections of the document need to be moved out still. But fundamentally, you know, do you believe that the ask is, do you believe these sets of modifications in general improve the spec? Did that help, Kim?
Yes, thank you. And I noticed from the PR directly, actually, let me include that again. So we have two complete reviews, that's Joe and I. Drummond said he would not be able to review it probably before next week. So that leaves a few people, Dave Longley and Christopher Allen. I'm not sure if we're waiting for your reviews.
I will approve right now.
Okay, cool. And Christopher, were there any pending concerns?
No pending concerns. I like this draft, although I don't feel like I gave it a formal review. I just did a quick pass over, and it's the right direction.
Sounds good. And we have Ryan on the queue, who was supposed to be a reviewer, but I have issues tracking down his GitHub ID. Ryan? Oh, we might have lost him.
I'm here. I read the changes, and they look like a fine direction to me. I actually had to go back and review some URL, URN differences, which I don't feel like I've completed. So I might have a comment there, but things look like a fine direction right now.
Okay, Ryan, if it's okay with you, I'll just add a comment in the PR saying that you said plus one to the direction. You may have some concerns, but just so we can log that away. So we have quite a few approvals now.
Yeah.
And Manu, I'm guessing that this would be a good time. I'm guessing you can merge it at your leisure. I think this is what we were waiting for.
Okay, sounds good. I'll make one last pass to make sure I didn't miss anybody's comments and then merge anything editorial in that's remaining, and then I'll pull the PR. Ryan, to address your URN concern, I think there is a problem in the spec on how we talk about URNs. It's not entirely accurate, which has actually caused confusion with other reviewers as well. DIDs are URLs, full stop, right? They are identifiers that you can dereference, and you get a resource, which is a DID document. That is definition for URL. So it may be that we are, the way that we introduce the concept of a DID is probably, it's probably going to have to change in the spec. And I think that's full agreement with it being problematic in the spec, and we'll need to work on it.
Okay,
slash slash isn't required, Ryan. for your
Yeah, I know, but the idea of a location is in the URL. So I felt I didn't want to even register it as a concern. I wanted to register it as an item that I needed to go review for myself, my own understanding, and that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like it's a 99% review, and I need to check something. And if I have a couple minor comments later, I'll just throw those in then.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks.
Great. So now we can move on to TPAC planning and review. I wanted to start with, I think David Chadwick would be the best one to lead this discussion. So we've been wanting to discuss following up on a thread for the credentials API handler. So David Chadwick mentioned he had some related API spec to review. And as he starts, I will add the GitHub issue to provide context, and David will give us more background.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So we did our implementation originally well over a year ago, and we based it on an enhanced FIDO implementation. So the FIDO protocol was used for talking between a smartphone and various websites, whether they were issuers or inspectors. And the private public keys were stored on the smartphone, and the smartphone produced separate key pairs for every website that it talked to. And I presented the outline of the design to the European Identity Conference in May, and there John Bradley was in attendance, as was Mike Jones from Microsoft. They said, yeah, that's good, but the specs are old now, and in fact you should be moving your implementation over to the web authentication API, which has been developed by the W3C, and the IETF specification for token binding. So I looked at those specs, and they do seem to be appropriate. We haven't had the manpower to make the changes yet, but that's something I'm hoping to do in the coming months. So I wanted to raise that as an alternative because of, well, two reasons. One, half the specs are W3C, and they'll be supported by all browsers. And also, there are people inside the W3C who see it as a suitable mechanism to be used by verifiable credentials, which might strengthen, you know, the passage of our documents through the W3C standardization process. So that's where I put onto the list the slides which show the user interface. The other thing about the implementation is it's extremely easy to use, and we've actually tested the implementation with hospital patients in a live hospital setting. And they unanimously agreed, and these were patients from less than 20 years old, the youngest, to over 80 years old, and they liked it and unanimously agreed that this was better than using usernames and passwords, because the asymmetric keys are used for authentication, so users never need to use usernames and passwords again, which is good. And when I looked at Manu's also published slides of his user interface and the demonstration system, and I did think that our system was a lot more easy to use than his system. So that's another reason why I would like to propose this as an alternative mechanism. Okay, any questions? Hello?
Yeah, we're here. I'm just waiting to be acknowledged on the queue. Should I go ahead, Kim? We can't hear you if you're talking, Kim, so I'm going to go ahead. I've got a number of questions. My viewpoint on using web authentication, that API, is that I would expect it to be more complementary than alternative with respect to the credential handler work that's being done. And before I get into my questions, I also want to give a link to the group. I threw together a draft specification so people can actually read a spec on how the credential handler API works. Again, it's largely based off of the payment handler API from the Web Payments group. So I put the link in the IRC for people to look at that if they want to. There's high enough information in there and flow information for people to read, but it's also targeted at browser implementers. My main question is, you said that you feel like your approach is easier to use, and so I wanted to know what are the reasons why you think it's easier to use. I'd also like to know if your approach works with allowing web applications to manage your verifiable claims or verifiable credentials, or if it depends solely on native applications. I'm kind of interested in integration points with, you know, how does this stuff work on the web? And why do you think that your approach is easier to use? And I've probably
okay.
got a number of other questions. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, in terms of working on the web, the credentials are actually held on the device, so they're local to the device. Therefore, they're not managed on the web. They would be managed with a local app on the device. So that is a difference. But I think there's an advantage there in terms of signing, because the private key is on the device and the signing is on the device. Whereas if you have a remote credential store, you've got the issue of getting the private key for signing over onto the remote credential store, which brings a set of issues. So that answers one question, I think. Why do I think it's easier to use? Because, of course, this depends on the design of the protocol and et cetera, but there are less steps involved. And the user is basically, there are two phases. One is the registration, one is the usage. And when I looked at your interface, or when I say you, I'm saying Manu's one, I thought that the way the credentials were handled and managed was rather cumbersome and complex and might confuse some users. Whereas in the particular case here, basically the user collects credentials, they're on the phone, and then when he talks to a inspector, the inspector sends a policy to the phone, and the policy says, in order to access my page, you need the following credentials, and the app on the phone does an automatic matching process and says, okay, the inspector wants the following set. I have the following set on the phone, that's okay. He then asks the user, which out of these matching ones do you want to use? And that allows the user to give consent and to choose the ones he wants to use by just clicking and pointing, and then swipes his finger, and that releases the private key to sign the exchange. So I think that's another reason why I think it's easy to use, because the user doesn't really need to look at or manage his credentials. They're just there in his wallet on the phone, and the software automatically tells him, these are the ones you've got that match what the site wants. Do you want to send them or not? And if the site says, for example, send a credit card, and he's got a MasterCard and a Visa card, it'll say, you want to send the MasterCard or the Visa card, and the user can choose, you know, touch it, and off it goes. Have I answered all the questions? Yeah.
Dave, do you want to go ahead before we go to Ryan?
Yeah, sure. So I've got a couple of responses. My first one is, you were saying that the keys are only on the device, and that is a difference with the credential handler API. That might be a slight misunderstanding with how the credential handler API works, which is, you know, we're lacking in documentation and so forth with how it works. So to explain, the only thing that happens with the credential handler API is the management of your credentials can happen on a web. In a web app, but that web app could still use web authentication to do the signing of profiles that you're sharing. So the keys could still be on your device. But the advantage there is that your credentials can live, they can potentially still live on your device. You have that option with this design, but they can also live out on the web in a secure location so that if you lose your device or if you're using multiple devices, you're still able to access that stuff. But you could have a separate key on each device that you use. That's why I was saying I think the approach with web authentication is probably complementary, not alternative, to how the credential handler API works. I also wanted to respond to, thank you for answering the question on why you think the experience is better. The credential handler API, the only part that the browser implements is actually the selection of a hint in a small little window that pops up. The screen where you make your choices for the credentials you want to choose to send and so forth is entirely up to the implementation of your credential repository, of your digital wallet software. So that piece can be built out in whatever way people want to build it out. And that's very important, as that is a separation of concern. There's a separation of concerns there, where we allow digital wallet providers to implement, to innovate however they want to. So they can build an interface, and we built an interface like that with our digital wallet product, where the query that comes in can be immediately matched up against whatever credentials you have, and you can be presented with the simplest choices. So it's a very simple interface. So the point of the credential handler API is to push all those details out to the edges, so that the browser only has to implement the minimum pieces to link up your digital wallet site with a request for credentials. How your digital wallet decides to present that information to you, help you answer queries, do whatever, is entirely up to that site, including whether or not you use hardware-secured devices with web authentication or other types of keys. So we've totally separated those pieces out, and so that's why I think your approach is actually complementary rather than alternative.
I think what you would need to do though is, whilst the interface in terms of the user interface would be tailored to the supplier, the actual protocols that for communicating, they need to be standardized. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to mix and match the different,
correct,
you know, different pieces. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Ryan, you're next.
Okay, so the separation of concerns thing just didn't show up, David, in your slides. So I was wondering, has a use case been considered for losing the phone?
Well, there is in this particular case, the way the phone looks and the way the things are presented to the user, that would be totally decided by whoever builds the app on the phone. So they could look quite different. What I would like to standardize is the protocol from the inspector to the holder, in terms of this is the policy that we need in order for you to access this particular page. And if we can standardize that and standardize the response, That would be good, and then it would give people flexibility to build whatever apps they wanted on the phone. I mean, ours works with standard web browsers, so that's a positive feature. I think it's important that we don't need to we don't want web browsers to have to change. That's for sure, because that's going to be a major uphill struggle if we want web browsers to do anything special for us. I think whatever approach we adopt, it has to say we will have to use web browsers as they are today or tomorrow. Shall we say tomorrow when they implement the new APIs? Because I think they're in a state of flux anyway, web browsers, aren't they? They're trying to rationalize a lot of what they do in a proprietary way now into some sort of standard API way. That's what I've sort of gathered from reading various documents on the internet. So assuming that web browsers all migrate to the standard ways of handling things like password managers, etc. If we use equivalent mechanisms, then I think that's a good way of making sure our standards get adopted, rather than wanting web browsers to do anything special for us.
Thank you.
I'm next on the queue, and I think that the intermediate conversation has cleared up my question. So my question was mostly around, yes, can this be considered complementary because a lot of the things that we're seeing in David's slides are more focusing on the usability, you know. So it sounds like we're saying, yes, we can fit this into the credential handler API. I think one of the sources of confusion for this specific GitHub issue, which party is responsible for signing, I think that is only in the context of what the polyfill implements and not a sort of prescriptive general credential handler API question. Dave Longley, is that correct?
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to speak to that a little bit more, which is to say that the credential handler API is actually even at a lower layer than what David Chadwick is talking about standardizing. I do believe we need to standardize what he's talking about, but the credential handler API effectively just makes it so that when a relying party website wants to request something, we don't have to talk about what the something is, that the user is presented with a set of pre-registered choices. They've been to some other websites where they've installed digital wallets, installed with a web application or potentially with a native application. And when a certain type of query comes in, the user will be presented with choices that they can choose which digital wallet provider they want to use to respond to the query. And then the browser will send that query to the digital wallet, and the digital wallet has to understand that query. That's where we're talking about standardizing that policy and everything. But that policy standardization is at a higher level than the credential handler API. The credential handler API doesn't have to understand those details. It just it might have to understand some minimal part of those details, like the type of query that it is, but it doesn't need to understand the data model and syntax and structure of the policy. So the only thing that the credential handler API needs to know is, can I match up this type of policy thing with a set of choices that can actually respond to it, that the user has decided that they want to register? And then the thing that's responding to that policy needs to understand the policy itself, so that's where that standard piece comes in that David Chadwick was talking about, and construct the appropriate response that will go back through the browser back to the relying party. And the browser is going to, again, see that response as largely opaque. It does not have to care what that is. And so we've minimized the surface area. We made the thing that the browser has to implement as small as possible. And then we can standardize another layer on top of that where we say, this is how you send verifiable profiles as part of verifiable credentials work. This is, if you want to send this type of web credential from your web management service to a website, here's what the policy needs to look like, and here's what the response needs to look like. And how you want to engineer your and build your user interface as your digital wallet, as a digital wallet provider, is entirely up to you. Doesn't matter. All that matters is that you can match this policy up with an appropriate response.
Could I ask a question? Why do you envisage the user might have different digital wallets, and doesn't that add an extra layer of complexity if the user has to say, use this wallet to answer this query from this website and this wallet to answer this query from website? I mean, typically I have all my credit cards in the same wallet. I don't have different wallets in different pockets containing different credit cards.
It may very well be the case that digital wallet providers want to provide as many types of credentials as they can. But keep in mind that profiles are effectively only one type of credential when we're talking about credentials in the credential management API, which is what the credential handler API is built on top of. A password, for example, is another type of credential. And so you might use a different service to provide passwords, like LastPass or something, versus providing verifiable profiles, which you might use a different digital wallet for that. To give some better, I can give another example of this. This is mirroring what happens with the payment request and payment handler APIs. You might have different types of wallets that provide different types of payment methods. So you might pay via credit card, and you might want to use the same wallet provider for using your credit cards, but you might need a different wallet provider for paying with some type of cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. Or you might. So there's different types of credentials that are going to be out there, and we're trying to separate concerns entirely. I would expect that most digital wallets that provide verifiable profiles would provide it for any type of verifiable credential.
But we
want this to be as low level and composable as possible.
Mm. This was a level, another level of abstraction that we don't have in our model. We didn't envisage different types of credentials like username, passwords, and etc. So I understand that. So that's fine. I think that's a good feature. And I do remember now looking at the credential API that it had different types of credentials. You've got the generic credential, and you make subtypes, I think, of it, don't you?
Correct.
It's a little bit confusing because
our terminology is verifiable credentials.
But the credential interface
that we're talking about in the credential management API.
Yeah, and they call passwords credentials. That's right. But they call it password manager, but then they talk about them being credentials, which I thought was quite unusual.
Yes, there was actually kind of a lengthy debate about that.
Yeah.
So do we have any action items to close out this topic?
I don't know if this is a topic that gets closed out, Kim. I mean,
okay.
You know, if there's
a... I mean, close it out for this phone
sure.
call, actually.
Okay, sorry.
So we can move on to TPAC. I mean, it sounds like we're agreeing that it's not mutually exclusive. It sounds like it fits per what Ryan says. I guess we revisit it when the time comes, and my goal is to move on to the TPAC review if possible.
Yeah, I think we have consensus that these are complementary pieces of technology that we can put together. We just need to work that out over time. And so I think we can move on to the next topic if David agrees and everyone else.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, when we get on to TPAC, I think it might be nice if we put something in there for TPAC, especially if we say, you know, we can use the web authentication spec. I think they probably would like that.
Okay, sounds great. Manu, I'm going to let you take the first stab at guiding us through TPAC, the review, what needs to be done.
Okay. So from the credential CG perspective, there are two things going on at TPAC. One of them is on plenary day, that's Wednesday, where we are trying to give a heads up to the W3C membership on what we're trying to do with the self-sovereign web. So there is a slide deck that a number of you have reviewed. Thank you very much for the reviews. So this is W3C TPAC. This is a vision for a self sovereign web slide deck. I've gotten some really good feedback. I haven't modified the slide deck, but basically this is trying to paint a picture to the W3C membership of what we're trying to accomplish, primarily by combining web payments, verifiable claims, decentralized identifiers. Together, we're trying to create a helpful ecosystem for a lot of folks kind of on the planet. So it pulls in kind of underbanked slash underrepresented use cases. It pulls in kind of the corporate use cases and then makes a pitch that, hey, we're doing pretty well. Like, we got web payments off the ground, and that group has like 180 people in it. Like, verifiable credentials is, you know, getting off the ground, and we've got a good community that's meeting. We have, like, you know, between 17 to 25 people meeting on a weekly basis working on technology and building stuff out. We've got commercial organizations building product around it. Like, that's good. And now we'd like to introduce this new decentralized identifier thing, which is going to be great for data ownership and is going to fight data siloing and things of that nature. I won't say fight, but, you know, is going to help people kind of own their data on the web. And it's primarily just kind of and hey, look, we're doing polyfills and we're doing implementation. So it's to familiarize the W3C membership with these are the things that we said we were going to do 8 years ago, and we're doing them and succeeding at them. Now we're going to do DIDs. Right, so keep an eye out for that stuff coming down the pipeline. We're going to do something that helps people move verifiable credentials around the web. So if you see charters like that coming across your desk, please make sure to support those as you have been supporting the web payments and verifiable credentials work throughout the last, 8 years or so. So that's kind of plenary day. That's what we're trying to do. We've got some demos for the credential handler API set up, trying to get into a lightning talk session to talk about the vision for a self-sovereign web. And then on that Friday, we have a joint meeting with the Verifiable Claims Working Group to kind of give a heads up on, work items that we've been working on. So at that point, either Kim or Christopher, needs to go through, these are the work items that the Credential CG has been incubating, and these are the things that we're hoping to push on the standards track at W3C. That work being like decentralized identifiers and credential handler API or David Chadwick's work or some combination thereof. So that's it for TPAC week. I mean, the good news is that there's not a lot of stuff that we have to prep or do. I think most of it's done. Right now, the question is refining the pitch deck on the vision for a self-sovereign web so that we have really good tight messaging around what we want the membership to pay attention to. So that's it for me. Any feedback on slide deck or strategy or meeting with the Verifiable Claims Working Group?
I'm on the queue. My question is pretty minor. It's actually to your point about having the chairs review our action items. What sort of time constraints do you think are there? Would it be like 30 minutes, an hour?
Let me look at the schedule. I think, coordination with W3 Credential CG happens at 11:30 a.m. on Friday. And there is already a document here. Oh, we're going to go over the Credential Handler API kind of demo really quickly, but we're slated for an hour. So, usually you want to do like 20 minutes of presentation, 40 minutes of discussion at these things.
What about the Wednesday time that you've scheduled?
That's an hour. The vision for self-sovereign web is an hour. I've timed the presentation. It's around 20 minutes at this point.
Do we have any rough idea when that'll be scheduled on Wednesday, or does that happen last minute?
It happens last minute. So does the lightning talk. We may not get up on stage for the lightning talk. People may not pick us. It's kind of an unconference type thing. You have to kind of go with the flow.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. We absolutely can't do it in the last slot because that's where we're demoing the credential handler API. We would probably like to do it in the first slot so that as we disperse into other groups, we can all kind of talk about it, right? So that there's usually if you want an idea to spread, you try to nail the first slot, and then everyone disperse from there and take the idea into the other breakout sessions throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, there's usually like a kind of everyone kind of comes together and you hope that the idea is taken hold by that point so people talk about, how excited they are about self-sovereign web or verifiable credentials or that kind of stuff. Did that help?
Yeah, and actually to follow up on my original question, so I'll take an action item for myself to start the brief slide deck on the action items for the Friday discussion, and it sounds like something I can iterate on with you, Christopher, and the group at large.
Sounds good.
Let's see, I don't think we have anyone on the queue. Just getting comments. Love for Oma. Wow. So no questions, comments. One thing I'm curious about, most people seem to be going to TPAC. I'm curious on on Manu, is your, do you have a lot of people from Digital Bazaar that'll be there?
Just two of us.
Okay.
And you'll typically, so TPAC is typically all the active working groups and advisory committee representatives. So there are 480 some odd AC reps, and you usually expect them to bring an equal number of engineers. So 800 people is pretty typical for TPAC. And then, like, in some cases, like the number of observers that join at the last second, like, double the size of the working group. So, for example, like the web payments group is only about 50 people are showing up, but there are 120 people that have signed up to be in the room. I don't think verifiable, I forget where we are with verifiable claims, but it's a, yeah, it's a crazy time. But
okay.
Fun.
So we, let's see, we still don't have anyone on the queue, so I think we can close this out if no one has any last-minute things. Let's see. Well, maybe we should talk about action items and suggestion for next week's agenda. So one question, I'm not sure if we're planning to have a credentials community group call, given that TPAC is going on that day. Thoughts? Okay, so the suggestions, we don't have a call. I personally won't be there until Tuesday night, but yeah, so that sounds good. I think we'll be missing most people. So for the following week, I know we had a lot of remaining DID. Well, so after landing this PR, we have the IIW phase of the DID spec, which I'm guessing we'll want to dive into after TPAC. If Drummond will be there, question mark, will we be able to make progress at TPAC on that to maybe get out another pass of the DID spec?
I seriously doubt anyone's going to have any spare time at TPAC. It is a crazy time.
Okay. Okay, and then Christopher notes that we should dive in the post-rebooting Web of Trust spec first, which that's something that I forgot to call out because I guess most of the rebooting Web of Trust issues, they're captured in the draft that Manu has, but they're captured as issues. So I guess we do need to, you know, drill into those a bit first, and then we would go into the IIW.
Just to clarify a little bit, Drummond said last week that he would prefer to base his IIW comments on the, you know, a rebooting web, post-rebooting Web of Trust version rather than, you know, kind of forking in a sense. So, I mean, I may have misunderstood him, but I thought that's what he said last week at, in our session.
Yeah, that was the plan, is to get the post-rebooting Web of Trusted spec kind of to a point where we agree that was where consensus was for rebooting Web of Trust, and then make another series of changes for after IIW so that people could see the progression of how the spec changed over time.
Okay. So it sounds like we're not meeting next week, but the following week we will start diving into those next phases of the DID spec. And yeah, if no one has anything else, we can close out early. Cool. I get bonus points when I close it out early, so.
Have a great rest of the week, all. See most or a good chunk of you at TPAC next week.
Excellent. Hey, see you guys.
Okay, bye.